Blog Talk Radio.
Turnbuckle Turmoil fans, QT and Sign Guy with you here on another Sunday afternoon. Want to thank all of the veterans who were celebrating Veterans Day yesterday. Hopefully you got to buy a drink or a sandwich for a veteran. Shake a veteran's hand. If you're looking for some pro wrestling today, later today, you can find me at UWA Blue Collar Wrestling. And you also have KDW happening in Jeffersonville, Indiana. And you also have All-Star Wrestling in Shelbyville, Indiana, featuring the Chair Insanity match. JKO and TJ Kemp in a Chair Insanity match, whatever that is. So, QT, do we have our guest with us yet?
Yes, we do. We do have Robbie Cave. Welcome to the show.
How's it going, guys?
Doing very well, and I want to thank you for taking time here on your Sunday to be with us. Now, since it's your first time with us, we're going to ask you the first timer's question to get started. What led you into the world of professional wrestling?
Oh, that's a really good question. My brother, who's older than me by about 9 years, was a big wrestling fan growing up. And so I was introduced to it essentially from birth, you know. So it's been something I've been into for literally my earliest memories, like watching the VHS tape of WrestleMania 4 and SummerSlam 1988 and stuff like that.
At what point in your life did you decide that you not only wanted to watch professional wrestling, but you would like to be an active part of the business?
Oh. It's probably, I mean, initially I had a run quite a while ago as a manager / bodyguard about 10 years ago. With Buddy Highway, Buddy. But then I guess I had kind of gotten, I got worn out really fast about a lot of some of the places with the politicking, as a lot of people are not that fond of that kind of stuff. But I guess I was invited back by Tectonic when he was first getting his foot in the door at BCW. And that's what brought me back into the fold.
Now, of course, at BCW, you started your refereeing career.
Yeah.
What was it about refereeing that made you and the company think that was the perfect fit for you?
I'm not sure, to be honest. I just kind of volunteered. I was like, hey, it was a right place, right time sort of fit, I think, because it was, I can be here every single week and I know what to do sort of thing. Because, I mean, I know that you and T-Rex, who was the other referee at the time, were kind of like alternating weeks or, you know, having a hard time hitting every single week. Because you guys come from a lot farther away than some of the guys do. But, you know, it was like only a couple-minute jaunt for me, so.
And when you decide that refereeing is a perfect fit, was there a period of where you had to train to do the refereeing role, or was it something that from the previous experience you had, you were able to just get in there and start doing it?
I mean, essentially from the previous experience, I was able to kind of jump in head first and know almost everything that was going on. But of course, the first couple of weeks, you were there, T-Rex was there, Tex, a lot of the guys, giving me pointers, helping me fine-tune everything out,
Now, for someone that is your size, you don't often see those people as a referee. It's a little bit unusual for someone of your size to do the refereeing, especially if you have, say, a cruiserweight match where the competitors are generally the smallest guys on the card. Did you have any troubles with matches just due to the size difference between yourself and some of the people that were wrestling in the match?
Not particularly. I think it kind of benefits me because, I get less flack from a lot of the wrestlers. Some of the wrestlers like to get up in the ref's faces and stuff, and me being a bit bigger of a referee, I tend to get less of the heels getting in my face and trying to bully me around, So I think it's kind of a benefit.
And you refereed a lot of matches involving, of course, Tectonic, who you mentioned helped get you back in, as well as his partner Tyson Lee and the rest of the role models, Kane Jaden. You also had Aries Toretto in there, Scarlett, that core group. They wrestled as a unit. They wrestled against each other in various times, but they were kind of a constant group that interacted with each other a lot, and you did a lot of those matches. Do you think having that core group early in your refereeing career helped you get better, being with guys that were more familiar to you and able to pick up on what they were doing a little bit more easily than if you were in there with a constant flux of different guys week after week?
It was good because them all knowing each other, I knew that they knew what they were doing all the time when they were in there. So there wasn't a whole lot that was left up to chance. They always had really good matches. And what I liked is they work a fairly quick pace. Even though Tectonic and Tyson Lee aren't that small, they work a quick pace when they're in there with Aries and Kane and vice versa. They all kind of bump up everything up to a faster level than you'd expect from those guys. So that got me in tune, ready for like faster paced matches with guys like Kane and Phoenix Kid and the faster wrestlers in the area.
You've moved over to Rose City Wrestling in the last few months, and for the fans listening that may not know, Rose City utilizes a six-sided ring. They're, I believe, the only company in the Northwest that has a six-sided ring. What were the adjustments that you had to make once you got into the six-sided ring and started working in it on a regular basis?
The biggest adjustment, I think, was aside from, like, when you're at a show with a regular four-sided ring, there's usually one side of the audience that's got more people, depending on the size of the venue, more people or a hard camera or something that you can work around, so you're playing to all, you're always playing to one particular side. With a six-sided ring, the way it's set up over there is it's like completely even all the way around. So it's the constant movement because I'm having to go off, like, it's like wrestling, it almost feels like you're refereeing in a circle. So you're constantly moving around and trying to adjust to make sure you're not blocking any particular part of the crowd for any period of time.
One of the things that I was taught when I was learning how to referee was the referee is the first line of defense for the wrestlers in the ring, that they are relying on a referee if there's an injury to help protect things, to get things back on track so they can get out of there as safely as possible after an injury occurs. I know that you've been in there when there's been a few nasty injuries. What's been some of the more serious injuries that you've had to deal with as a referee during matches?
Okay. The first and foremost one that comes to mind is if you remember when Darkness broke his leg. It was him and Vicious versus Bad Blood and Buddy Highway. And Bad Blood dove, Darkness caught Bad Blood pretty much full on, and when he was falling backwards, his foot just kind of got stuck in place, and his body went down, and his foot didn't, so his leg snapped. It was pretty gnarly. That's definitely the worst one I've seen, and the one that sticks with me the most.
And when you see a guy break his leg that seriously, and it's happened to me in a match, and the referee handled it fairly well, except the fact he turned as white as I've ever seen any human being turn. What's going through your mind as the referee in this match when you see something like that occur?
It was right at the tail of a big dive spot. So, I mean, I jumped out and I made sure to get, because, you know, Vicious and Buddy are big guys. Bad Blood isn't exactly a small guy. And they were all fighting, so I made sure to get them away from Darkness, you know, get all of them, you know, kind of make a safety bubble around them. And I immediately was telling the security in the area to go get help because he's hurt, told the rest of the match, hey, let's go. We need to finish this up away from Darkness.
On occasion in this business, there are what we call in the business shooting matches where things are a little less amicable between the competitors.
Oh, yeah.
Have you ever been in a situation where you've had a shooting match break out?
I mean, never like a full match that way. The biggest one to my recollection happened after a match. But, you know, I haven't seen much in my matches as far as shooting goes that wasn't like a stiff and a receipt and maybe get a little heated for a minute, calm back down. But I had the aftermatch fight between Bad Blood and Kane Jaden.
I recall that, yeah.
It was pretty intense.
Oh, go ahead.
Yeah, no, it was pretty intense. Kane felt that Bad Blood took things a little too far in the post-match attack and retaliated, and it just kind of built up from there.
At Rose City Wrestling, they're a relatively new company. They're still growing their fan base, but they have a pretty loyal fan base that are generally into the matches. What's it been like working for a newer company like this that doesn't have years behind it as a product that's been established?
I think the best thing about working for a new company is the fans can come in, but they don't have to have a preconceived notion of what they're going to get on this particular show. Because if the show hasn't been around for that long, there hasn't been enough time to establish all the same patterns that a lot of shows get into. You know, we still get people who come in, you know, irregularly and do one-off shows every now and again. So it's kind of a cool mixed bag. You never know exactly who's going to be on what show. And, you know, like they always say, card is subject to change. So, you know, we had a blockbuster card the last show. And, you know, for only having four matches, it was really good. And I think it kind of took everybody by surprise.
You also recently made your debut for the PWF up in Washington. You got to work on the show there. What was it like branching out and going to a completely different area where you've never been before to ply your trade?
You know, it was fun. I really enjoyed it. You know, everyone was professional. Everyone was nice. It was cool. I mean, of course, I wasn't the only one that was up there for the first time. Tectonic and Tyson Lee were up there. You know, and there are other people I knew who were there because Caden Cassidy, I've been friends with him for close to 10 years now. So, you know, I wasn't completely out of my element because I knew some people there. You were there. So, you know, it's just always, when you're there for the first time, trying to get the best first impression.
Absolutely. Professionalism usually gets you on a pretty good track to go back. Now, in addition to the cruiserweight matches, like we discussed earlier, where you're usually bigger than they are, women's matches, you're going to run into the same type of thing. Women's wrestling offers a little bit different guidelines for a referee as opposed to the male matches in a lot of cases. You've refereed some women's matches. Do you ever have a little bit different outtake when you go in there to referee a women's match as opposed to a male's match?
I mean, for me, and, you know, I do this all the way across the board, is I try and treat everyone as equals in the ring. So cruiserweights, heavyweights, men, women, whoever you are, you get the same treatment from me all the way around the board. The biggest difference is, you know, if I have to pull somebody out of a corner in a women's match, I just have to be way more aware of how I go about doing that.
Historically in wrestling, and you don't see it as much today, but there used to be a lot of midget matches on shows, and the referees almost always ended up being involved in the match physically with the midgets to some degree or another. Have you had any midget matches under your belt yet?
That I have not. I've not even been on a card with that sort of a match yet.
I have not either, to be honest. So I definitely want to get in on that. Now, one of the things that a lot of shows has, and I know you've done some of these as well, are the stipulation matches. You have steel cage, bull rope, dog collar, Iron Man matches, all stipulation matches that you see on television eventually make their way to the independents. What are some of the hardest stipulation matches that you've had to referee so far?
See, refereeing the War Games match they had at BCW was kind of rough because there was a lot going on. You know, it was like 8 or 10 guys. I don't remember how many, and they were all jumping in and out of this cage, and they didn't make it very easy to follow. So just by sheer number of people and chaos, that one was pretty tough. And you know, sometimes matches like Iron Man matches or two out of three falls matches where they can go a long time, you know, it's, you know, you got to make sure your cardio's up to, you know, be up and around for a long period of time if these matches happen to go, you know, past the 30-plus minute mark sometimes.
One of the common themes that we've had on our show whenever we have guests that are from the Pacific Northwest, if we start talking referees, your name normally comes up when they're discussing underrated and very good referees. A lot of people out here really enjoy having you in the ring. For someone that hasn't been doing this for a long time, but has the backing of a lot of the wrestlers in the area, do you feel that so far in your career you're on the right track as far as development and doing what you need to do to get better and to branch out?
You know, so far so good. I mean, the reason why I've stuck over at Rose City Wrestling for now is because they work a lighter schedule. They're not every week like BCW. And I just needed to break away from the constant go, go, go. You know, so it was a little bit of a, you know, taking the time off, but still being out there, just not as frequent. Well, I'm still, you know, contacting other promoters and trying to get out and, you know, go back up to Washington and whatnot.
There's a lot of promotions out there right now. The Northwest is really booming compared to what it was like, say, 5 or 6 years ago when there were not very many promotions. Looking at the landscape of things, are there any promotions out there that might be number one on your wish list to get a chance to officiate on it?
Well, I mean, talking strictly Pacific Northwest area, Defy. I mean, they're new, but they have hit the ground running and have killer shows every single go around. And the fan base is crazy. It's fun to watch. I've seen some videos, so I'd love to get up there and work with them.
They are definitely a very well-run company. Heard nothing but great things. And they make a fortune there because ringside seats are not cheap there.
Yeah.
Now, if we take the Northwest out of the equation and you look at the landscape of the entire wrestling world, what's maybe one of the dream promotions for you that's out there anywhere around the world?
It'd probably be a toss-up between AIW out of Cleveland or Chikara out of Philadelphia.
Both very good promotions. Now, AIW is a regular promotion for Greg Iron, who I've worked with a couple of different times in my career. For the people not familiar with Greg Iron, he is one half of the Handicapped Heroes. He has cerebral palsy, so he has one arm that's not as useful as the other. There's a few people like Greg out there in the wrestling world, but have you ever had the opportunity so far to officiate for one of the people that, like Greg, are a handicapped hero?
You know, I don't recall. I don't think I've don't think I have.
One of the other aspects of refereeing that a lot of people that aren't in there may not appreciate is the fact that the referee oftentimes is the one that is going to control a match. Sometimes if the referee has far more experienced than the people that are wrestling, or if the wrestlers themselves are not able to keep things under control, it's the referee that kind of guides the match. In your career, how much have you done of actually controlling the match and leading them through an actual match?
Not a ton, but I have interjected before, and you know, I'm not going to name drop anyone, but it's those moments where I realize that a lot of the people will take credit for what we do out there when we're giving our insight and, you know, trying to help people forward.
Absolutely. Alan, a lot of times when I officiate, the wrestlers will come to me for input to see if I noticed anything that could be improved, anything that was wrong, anything that they did right. Doesn't necessarily always translate to younger wrestlers. I have had a lot of people that have been in the business for a long time ask for insight just since I was in there and could see what they were doing, gauge the crowd a little bit. Do you get a lot of wrestlers coming to you for feedback on their matches since you're directly involved in them?
Oh, yeah. Almost every single show. Because just, you know, like I was saying, like having been introduced to wrestling essentially when I was first born, and I've been watching it ever since. So, I mean, I've been constantly, and like anybody can say, oh, I've been watching wrestling my whole life, but literally so much of my life has just been literally diving headfirst into wrestling, watching everything that I can get my hands on. And then plus refereeing, you know, I've seen so much, and being in there firsthand, it's always great to be able to give advice. And it's always great to hear somebody ask for advice, because when somebody seems open to hearing if they made a mistake or constructive criticism, if they can handle it well, that's always a huge plus for me.
Well, at this point in time, my co-host QT Vokes is standing by. I know that he has a plethora of questions for you, so Thez, help you as I pass things to QT for a bit.
Alrighty.
Well, thank you, Sign Guy. Hello, Robbie.
Hey, how's it going?
Robbie, have you had a chance to be a referee at a youth soccer event or a junior high school event or any, like a youth cross-country meet? Any refereeing or officiating at an event other than wrestling?
No, I haven't.
Oh, okay. All right. Robbie, who will win the costume contest at the NWA Blue Collar Darkness Reigns contest? I mean, who won? Who won the costume contest? I didn't get that result.
Oh, gosh. The Darkness Reigns from last year?
No, from this year.
Oh, I'm not sure. I wasn't there this year.
Oh, I thought you were there last week.
No.
No. Oh, okay.
I haven't been at their show since August, I think.
Oh, wow. Okay. Well, were you there in 2016?
Yes.
At a Halloween special. Oh, okay. Do you remember what the winning costume was then?
Not off the top of my head.
I heard rumors that it was a Roadrunner. Yeah, that's what I heard.
Could have been.
Oh, okay. Now, do you think Blue Collar Wrestling will ever see a four-way women's lucha contest? Do you ever think you'll see that?
Do I think that'll happen at Blue Collar Wrestling? Probably not.
Yeah.
But do I want to see it? Absolutely.
Whoa, okay. All right. Are there any women out there in the Northwest who you think would be at the top of a lucha card that you have seen in the ring at Blue Collar Wrestling? Maybe a Sunny Days? Hello? Oh, I think Robbie's dropped the call. Yes, Robbie.
Did you scare Robbie K?
No, there was a click, and he's not on the switchboard anymore. That's weird.
You didn't hang up on him, did you?
Uh-huh. I gave him a minute. He might call back in.
I can't say that there was an actual winner of the costume contest last week, or actually 2 weeks ago at Blue Collar, but my Paul Moonshine was brilliant. I got in there and competed as Paul Moonshine, and the Phoenix Kid actually competed as Sign Guy.
Really?
Yes,
it
actually happened.
Now, did the Phoenix Kid do a 360 over the top? Oh, I think we got Robbie K back. Let me check this out here. I don't know what happened here. Okay. This one. Robbie, are you back with us?
Yeah, can you hear me now?
Yes. Okay, I hope you didn't drop your phone into the blender.
No.
Oh, okay. Well, Robbie, why do you think the feud between Lance Dean and JB Moonshine is so intense?
I just think it's the length of the history they have with each other. You know, I think the longer it goes, the more intense it builds up to, the bigger it gets. You know, it becomes, because, you know, you can have a professional rivalry. Oh, you beat me, I want a chance to beat you back. Whatever. But the longer it goes, the more chance it has of becoming a super personal feud.
Wow, all right. Okay. Robbie, have you yourself ever sampled the contents of Paul Moonshine's jug?
No. I brought it pretty close to my face one time, and the fumes coming out of it made my eyes water, so I stayed away from it.
Wow, we're talking 100 proof, huh?
Probably, or more.
Oh, okay. All right. Robbie, when did Gregor Petrov start calling himself the American Overdose?
You know, probably longer than I've been around. Because that was one of the first times I met him, that's how he introduced himself to me, so.
Oh, okay. Well, Robbie, what is the highest you have ever been ranked in the weekly Turnbuckle Turmoil top 9 7/8 Northwest Wrestler rankings?
To be honest, I don't know. I wish I knew. Do you guys know? Have I ever made the top 10?
I think you have, yes.
All right. That's good to know.
I mean, you do realize that the number one ranked wrestler gets a weekly fruit pie, don't you?
I did not know that.
Oh, okay. I thought you may have seen a lot of fruit pies floating around at Blue Collar Wrestling.
You know, I've seen a few, and now I understand.
Okay. Have you ever seen a hand with a fruit pie, a hand suddenly comes through the curtain to the locker room or backstage area of Blue Collar Wrestling with a fruit pie in hand, and that's it? Have you ever seen that?
No, all I can really recall is people carrying the fruit pies around backstage. putting them in their bags at the end of the show.
All right, okay. Now, are there any truths to the rumors that Tectonic and Tyson Lee were planning on stealing your Halloween candy coming over to your house?
No, absolutely.
Oh, you heard rumor? Okay.
Absolutely. Okay. They're known around the circle for being bullies, so it wouldn't put it past me. And I've literally known Tectonic since we were children. We were in first grade together, so he's no stranger to coming over here and helping himself to the contents of my refrigerator, the Halloween candy bowl, et cetera, et cetera.
Oh, does he ever leave any Coors Light? That's what I'm asking.
No.
Oh, okay. Doesn't leave any. Okay. What do you prefer, candy corn or Snickers?
You know, I think I'm going to be on the unpopular side of the argument, and I'm going to go with candy corn.
Wow. All right. I think that's pure corn syrup, if I'm not mistaken. Corn syrup and food coloring. I think that's it. Yes.
Yeah, they use a little carnauba wax to form it, and they actually has honey in it, and that's why I like it. They put some honey in there, too.
Carnauba wax. Okay. Okay. Well, Robbie, do you yourself know of any referees that work for Vince McMahon currently?
Do I know any of them?
Yes.
Personally, no.
Okay. All right. Well, how is Darkness coming along in his recuperation of his broken leg? And how was the event for his broken leg?
What event was it?
No, how did the fundraising event go? I wasn't there.
It went pretty good. I think we raised something of like $1,500. And as far as the recuperation goes, I'm pretty sure he's back to 100%. And I think I've seen pictures of him actually wrestling up in down in California.
Wow. All right. Okay. Now, how do you think Kane Jaden would do against Big V in a Coney Island Nathan's hot dog eating contest?
I think V would have him beat pretty easily in a hot dog eating contest. But don't ever take anything away from the amount of food that Kane Jaden can put down, because I think if it was a pizza eating contest, Kane could take just about anyone in the Pacific Northwest.
Wow. Yeah. Now, you've got to realize that sometimes those guys that don't have much of a stomach and probably aren't that towering in stature can put away a lot of food, like Joey Chestnut.
Yeah.
Yes, I believe Joey Chestnut's record is like 52 hot dogs.
Something like that. It's up there.
Yes. I think it's 25 feet of hot dog if you put the hot dogs end to end.
That's a lot of hot dog.
Okay. Now, what do you think of Buddy Highway's transformation into state-ranked powerlifter?
You know, I think it's great for him, you know. It's got him more motivated than I've seen him in years. He's another guy that I've known. Like I said earlier on the interview, you know, my first break into the business was working with him 10-plus years ago. You know, to see him this motivated about something, you know, the huge weight loss that he's had over the last, like, year and a half, 2 years, I think it's really, really good for him.
Yes, and I made the mistake of giving him a fruit pie for being ranked number one in the weekly rankings, not knowing that he was diabetic. Yes. Okay. Okay. Now, Robbie, do you plan to produce any Robbie K trading cards?
You know, it's not on the list yet, but I'm planning on a little bit of merch available soon.
Oh, okay, like T-shirts?
Yeah.
Wow, all right. Is there any young fans at BCW, let's say under the age of 10, that have formed a Robbie K fan club?
You know, I don't think anybody that young, but I do have had over there while I was still there on the regular, and a couple people have followed over to the RCW where I've been working more recently. You know, about three or four of them that are pretty hardcore fans.
Oh, okay. All right.
But I don't think formed a club at all, so.
Oh, they haven't? Oh.
Yeah, maybe I'll, like, next show, I'll rope them all into a room together and have them all meet.
Now, why
so
is
maybe,
it that
maybe
leper... that
will happen.
Oh, okay. Now, why is it that referees don't have any entrance music? And is that a trend that you hope to start at Blue Collar Wrestling?
You know, I think... But so that's actually a really good question. Why don't referees have entrance music? Maybe we should get entrance music.
Yes.
No, I think maybe... I think people would get tired of our entrance music. Because a lot of times referees are the only people who are on the show 2, 3, or 4 times versus each wrestler who comes out once, maybe twice. You know, so you'd hear the same track over and over and over again, you know, if, say, a show only had 2 referees or even 1 referee. Might get too repetitive.
Are there any truth to the rumors that someone, a fan at Blue Collar Wrestling, suggested that your entrance music be the Ace of Spades by Motorhead?
You know, I haven't heard anything to that effect. The only thing I've heard suggested by the crowd is for me to get my haircut.
Oh, wow. Haircut, okay. Would that be at Supercuts? That's what we're asking. Supercuts.
Would it be at Supercuts? You know, maybe if I were in between paychecks and was on a budget, but I'd rather go somewhere a little more high scale than Supercuts.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, Robbie, what's the best entree you have had at the concession stand at Blue Collar Wrestling? Best entree.
Best entree. Goodness. You know, occasionally they have, like, the kielbasa sausage, which is definitely a couple notches better than the hot dog. But, I mean, as far as that goes, I haven't done much eating at the concessions at BCW or really any show that I've been on. It's not particularly the healthiest fare, you know, so I try and stick to more stuff available backstage or bring my own food.
Right. I know when I last made it there a couple of weeks ago, they had meatloaf and green beans, I believe. Yes. All right. Well, was that a hot dog or sausage that you had at the Blue Collar Wrestling? Was that entree better than the cheeseburger that is offered at Patty's home plate?
Absolutely not.
Oh, okay. Yeah, Patty does put out a good cheeseburger. Yes.
Yeah, you know, I've been there a couple times, and everything that I've had over there has been pretty top-notch.
Oh, okay. Well, Robbie, have you ever had a chance to referee in Idaho?
In Idaho, no, but I'd definitely be open to it.
Besides Idaho, what are the top 3 states in the U.S. that you would like to referee in if given the chance?
I'll say states Pennsylvania, California, and Florida.
Why Pennsylvania is your top choice?
You know, the New England area is just a super hotbed for the number of promotions they have over there. You know, so if you're over there, you know, you're neck deep in so many different promotions that are a short car drive away. So I think it's one of the best areas just to be open to so many things in your general vicinity.
How about the territory of Puerto Rico?
You know, I haven't been to Puerto Rico before. I've been to Mexico and didn't referee in Mexico. And, you know, so it'd be nice. It'd be kind of like work and vacation all together in one. So I'd be down.
How about Tennessee?
You know, Tennessee would be great too.
Wow, a lot of history there. Boy.
Yeah.
Lots of wrestling history. Okay. Well, Robbie, were you a big fan of Beer Money's Robert Roode and James Storm in TNA?
You know, I was. That was back when I did watch TNA on the regular. They were the big deal at the time, and you know, they made a great tag team. I mean, nothing to take away from either of them as singles wrestlers, but I definitely think that's where they both kind of peaked out, in my opinion, was as a tag team together.
What blue-collar wrestler most personifies the mannerisms of Robert Roode, in your opinion?
Oh, boy. That's a good question. Who at BCW personifies Robert Roode the most? I don't know. It might be, you know, the cockiness and attitude of maybe a Tommy Celsius or Lance Dean.
Oh, okay.
They're kind of big talkers, you know, and they like to pump themselves up a little bit.
I was going to go with Gregor Petrov or Crash Ella. Yes. All right. Well, Robbie, I'd like to read you a passage from Scott Teal's book, Is That Wrestling Fake? Are you ready for this short passage and a question about blue-collar wrestling that follows it?
Sure.
Oh, okay, just 1 second. Okay. Fans came into the ring quite often. In 1980, when Roddy Piper and I were teaming together in the Charlotte territory, we wrestled against Ric Flair and Wahoo McDaniel in Sumter, South Carolina. As we walked to the ring for our match, a guy stepped out of the audience and sucker-punched Roddy. Roddy threw his bagpipes at me and chased the guy in no time at all, knocking him to the ground. The cops were supposed to throw the guy out, but they gave him a lecture and let him go. After we lost the match to Flair and Wahoo by disqualification, and while we were walking back to the dressing room, the guy ran up behind Roddy with the intent of blindsiding him again. I saw him out of the corner of my eye and beat him to the punch, literally. I hit him and broke his jaw. We later learned that he was an off-duty Marine soldier on leave. He sued us, and when our lawyer was doing his research, he learned that the guy had become a police officer. The caucus settled the case out of court, but Roddy and I shouldn't have been held liable for anything. We had to protect ourselves. And this brings to mind the question, have you yourself, in all your wrestling, not even at blue collar, but anywhere, had a run-in with a fan?
Personally, I've never had a fan try anything with me, but I've seen it happen once, but it was snuffed out faster than I could even get to it.
Oh, okay. All right.
There was a security guard right around the corner who was very quick to take action.
Oh, all right. So he kind of pounced like a mountain lion. Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, Robbie, are you yourself a native Pacific Northwesterner?
Yeah, born and raised Portland, Oregon.
Oh, okay. Now, have you had any run-ins or disputes with BCW superfan Marion?
No, I haven't. No disputes at all.
Oh, okay. Oh, all right. Okay. Well, if Crash Ella wrestles next month during the Christmas season, do you plan to put coal in her stocking, Crash Ella?
Only if she cheats.
Oh, okay.
Which is almost a guarantee that it's going to happen. So, I mean, fair to say,
all
probably.
Right. Well, Robbie, now that the temperature is getting colder and it is coming to the holiday season, do you think they're going to start serving fresh ground coffee at the concession stand at BCW?
That'd be nice.
Yeah,
coffee, hot chocolate for the kids, I don't know. That'd be good.
Okay. Well, Robbie, you mentioned earlier in the show your older brother and his VHS tapes. Did you used to backyard wrestle him?
You know, we wrestled. Here's a story that not a lot of people know, that, like, our dad built a wrestling ring in our basement of the house that we lived in at the time when I was, like, 4 years old. And, yeah, so, I mean, we did have our fair share of wrestling matches with each other.
Oh, we built a wrestling ring in your basement?
Yeah.
What did he use for materials? Did he use any 2x4s covered with plywood and foam rubber?
You know, for the flooring, I think it was just mats on the floor, but he brought in posts that he bolted into the floor and, you know, put turnbuckles in and strung ropes through them. You know, so, I mean,
wow,
it was like, yeah, it was like having the posts and the ropes and then, like, mats on the ground. So almost like what it would look like if you had a cross between a professional wrestling ring and amateur wrestling mats at the same time.
Did you have any neighborhood kids coming over to and start a wrestling card with you?
You know, not me in particular at the time, but I'm sure my brother had a lot of friends over. Because, yeah, like
okay.
I said, at that point, I was only like 4 or 5 years old. But he was, you know, he was like 9, 10, so he would have had all the school friends coming over.
Oh, all right. Was your brother a natural babyface or heel?
Babyface, for sure.
Oh, okay. All right. Now, Robbie, are there any truths to the rumors that a wrestler in the Northwest ate some cake off the wrestling mat at PWF in Port Townsend?
I wouldn't be surprised, but I can neither confirm nor deny said rumor.
Okay, maybe Sign Guy will fill you in on this. A wrestler eating cake off the wrestling mat. Yes. He'll fill you in. Okay.
All right.
And speaking of cleanliness of wrestling mats, I noticed that the wrestling mat at Blue Collar Wrestling is kept pretty clean. How important is that to the referee?
Just like anybody else who's going to be in there, you don't want debris flying around. Because I know, personally, I've been in a match where the prior match was like a hardcore match or a tables match or something, and there was debris left from a broken table that actually got into my eye while I was on the mat checking on one of the wrestlers. So it's really important, to be completely honest.
Oh, okay. Have you ever had to take a new wrestler aside that may have been so excited because maybe it was one of his first handful of matches and told him that it was customary to wipe his feet on the ring apron before entering the ring?
You know, I haven't really worked with anybody that new. Everybody that I've been in the ring with has been pretty well established so far. I did have to help a fairly new ring announcer kind of get over the jitters, though. He was pretty had the stage fright going on, you know.
Now talk about jitters and stage fright. What's this about a bell ringer at Blue Collar Wrestling ringing the bell at a long time at the referee's command? Seems to be a little disharmony there. Yes.
You know, there's from my personal experience there, there's only been one time where the bell hasn't rung exactly when I wanted it to. the person that, who was in charge of it at the time was a little too enthralled with the brawl that was going on at ringside to notice me trying to give him the command. But I think he was reprimanded.
Oh, wow, okay. Well, Robbie, do you yourself have any autographed wrestling cards?
You know, I do have a car. I do have one somewhere hidden in my bookcase somewhere.
Well, talking about autographed wrestling cards and memorabilia, to your knowledge, has Tex Thompson ever been ranked in Pro Wrestling Illustrated, number 1 or 500?
Oh, you know, I haven't been through them all, but I've got a pretty big collection of the PWI 500s, and I can't recall ever seeing his name come up.
Oh, okay. How many PWI magazines do you have?
I don't have an exact count, but I probably have about 15 or 16 of them.
Oh, okay. What's your favorite place to pick them up?
I used to pick them up at the grocery store down the house, down the way from my house, used to have a big magazine selection, and I would actually pick up the PWI almanacs. But now I just order them offline.
Oh, okay. Online. All right. Well, Robbie, did you ever have a chance to meet Roddy Piper when he ran Portland Wrestling Uncut about 8 years ago in Portland?
You know, not during that period of time, but I did have a chance to meet him before that.
Oh, all right. Wow. Did you ever have a chance to meet Sandy Barr?
Yes, indeed I did. Going to the shows that he ran out of the flea market was one of my favorite things to do back in, like, when I was in 7th and 8th grade.
Wow, all right. Have you ever received a knife-edge chop from a wrestler at Blue Collar Wrestling?
Oh, yeah, a couple times.
Oh, can we ask who?
Let's see, knife-edge chop, Bad Blood, Tommy Celsius. I got an overhand chop for Big Vicious once. That was probably the worst of it.
Oh, Big V, okay.
Yeah.
Wow. All right.
He's got big hands.
Yes, he does. Yes. I'd say they're about 60% of the size of Andre the Giant. He's got about 40% to make up. Okay. Well, Robbie, we're getting about to, down to that time in the show where we ask our guests if they have anything they would like to plug, their favorite cheeseburger, their favorite cake, their favorite pound cake, their favorite German wiener sausage, or their favorite war hero. You can go ahead and plug something now. Yes.
You know, I'm just going to make a broad spectrum sweep here and just say support independent wrestling in general. Look it up. Find your local independent promotion. Find whatever's closest to you. Go out there, support them, because, you know, the whole show might not be for you, but there's going to be at least something there that's going to, you know, you're going to enjoy. You know, at least one, two matches on the card you're going to enjoy no matter where you're at. So do that, support independent wrestling, buy the merch, you know, help the guys out, help the promotions out. You know, it's a businesses. We're all trying to make money out of it, you know?
Wow. Well said. Okay. Robbie Kay, it was a pleasure talking with you today and good luck tonight in the refereeing duties. Yes.
Well, thank you for having me. It's a pleasure and I hope to be back on.
We will try to work that out in the new year. Okay.
Sounds good.
Okay. Tell Buddy Highway hi tonight. Yes.
I will.
Thank you, fans. And thank you, Sun Guy and Robbie K. Yes. Boy, this end episode isn't working. I think I'm having computer problems. Okay, no problem. Click, click. Yes. Well, that's strange. Well, my computer froze. Okay. Yes. Goodbye, people. Yes. Well, I work on my computer.